Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour two of the Josh Briscoe Show here on 96.5 The Fan. Quentin Morris producing the effort, picking the music, and helping me use the phones that I have not yet mastered. And by mastered, I mean figured out even a little bit. I touched a button on the phone, and I hung up on our next guest, Tucker D. Franklin. The D stands for definitely online now that Quentin has put him on the phones. And you can see him across KC Sports Network, Mizzou That's Who, that football show with Matt Verderam, who we had on a few weeks ago, and very likely enjoying an ice-cold beer at an establishment near you. Tucker, how you doing? Well, maybe not. I may have this. There's every chance that I just simply have not learned how to use any of these buttons. Something changed over here now, but I don't know. Quentin, you push all the buttons and pull all the levers you need to and let me know when Tucker's there. I apologize for being as completely inept as I am at the moment. I've never felt so helpless just trying to hit a phone button. The look on Quentin's face has made me think that I've broke something. Tucker, if you could hear me, just know he has left the room. I can start hitting buttons over here. Oh, Tucker says he is still connected. Do you want me to hang up on this? I can hang up on him, or I can try that, or that, or that. It's a little like do not cross sort of sign. Maybe it's the wrong phones. That's where I've left us now. My deepest apologies to Quentin in particular, to Tucker a little bit. And if you're a listener right now enjoying this, I have to imagine this is pretty much the show that you'd like it to be. We'll go through a variety of things here with Tucker as we've gone through the DeAndre Hopkins game, the elder statesman carrying the offense, the confusing state of the cornerback discourse, and everything that follows. I'll also mention, this is failing on my part, we just never talk about actual quarterback Patrick Mahomes enough. He's such an idea and such an overwhelming concept at this point that it's easy to overlook things like this, tweeted out by Sheil Kapadia. Patrick Mahomes on third down, 11 for 13 for 126 yards and 10 first downs. The highest success rate on third or fourth downs this season, Patrick Mahomes. Highest EPA per play on third and fourth downs, Patrick Mahomes. There is a borderline mystical status establishing for Mahomes at this point. And it's very hard to encapsulate, air quotes here, clutch. It's just something that great players do when the games are the most important. It's a very hard thing to predict. It's a very hard thing to understand. We don't really have the numbers or the science for it. We have high leverage moments, but why are some players better in those circumstances than others? For Mahomes, I just think he is better all the time. And then these are times when he has to put on the cape. It is harder to live that way 24/7. Like I know that, you know, you on one hand, you think about 17 regular season games. Can you treat all of them like the Super Bowl and just go ahead and get your intensity and effort levels all the way up for every one of these contests? It's hard to do, though. Can you just play your best football every single down? Not really. Defenses are also doing their best. You're saving, not necessarily saving your best plays, but you are implementing your break glass in case of emergency efforts on these must-have third downs, late in games, overtime drives. It is an unbelievable constant, though. When moments are just moments, games are just games, plays are just plays. It is truly unfathomable that Patrick Mahomes is so consistently at his best when those moments are the biggest. We may have a... I can't hear my own microphone now. Oh, there we are. I'm hearing it again. Okay. Listen, I'm sorry. I'm still jumpy. It's still a relatively new studio. Do we have Tucker D. Franklin? Tucker, do you hear me? No! I can hit more buttons on my end, but still not. Still not Tucker ready yet. Sorry, Tucker. What was it? Here's my thinking right now. We're going to have to take time out in a few minutes anyway. Maybe take a little early time out, which I so rarely do. Take a little early break, and we'll see if we can reconvene with Tucker here in a second, because I wanted to spend a little more time with him anyway, and I figured our next segment would probably only be like 6 minutes. And look at that. We've just done six beautiful minutes, and we're talking about Patrick Mahomes on third downs. I think we're good this time for real. Tucker, before I introduce you again, can you hear me?
I hear you, Josh.
Yes!
Can you hear me?
Yes!
We did it.
That is the voice of Tucker D. Franklin. The D stands for definitely can hear him now. You can see him across KC Sports Network, hear him and watch him on Mizzou That's Who and That Football Show with Matt Verderam. Follow him on social media at Tucker D. Franklin or on TikTok at Pikachu Mixtape. Tucker, it's so good to hear your voice for the second or third time today.
Yeah, that's true. It is very good to be on the airwaves again with you, Josh, and to talk some Chiefs football. I'm very excited. I'm glad that we are able to finally get connected and be able to talk some Chiefs.
I was just telling Quentin, who is this is Quentin and I's first show working together here.
Awesome.
So I was telling him during the break, as he's scrambling around trying to figure out what's going on with the phones, I feel completely useless because I haven't seen exactly these phones before, but I'm familiar with the concept. And I'm going to go ahead and air a little bit of laundry, Quentin, I hope. Nothing that will get you in trouble, certainly. Quentin's been masterful. But he said, just tell Tucker we're sorry and I really apologize for all that. I said, oh, it's okay. Tucker was an intern of mine way back in the day. We're familiar with how the radio machine occasionally a part just falls off. Maybe it's user error. Maybe it's a bolt from 1982. Like, there's no way to know, but it's all part of the charm. And I'm excited to get to, as you said, share these airwaves again. It's also a fun and exciting time, which you wouldn't know if you only watched people on Chiefs Twitter talk about cornerbacks. You would think we were in a horrible, horrible place again.
That's very Chiefs Twitter chamber. Think that this team is 2-6 and they're never winning a game ever again, and the quarterback is playing awful and the defense is probably allowing 38 points a game or something like that. But no, none of that has happened. The Chiefs are perfect so far this season. Well, the games haven't been perfect, but their record is of that. And look, they've made some good moves. I do think it is a good time right now. The trade deadline does come to a close. I think it's a good time for reflection on where the Chiefs have been so far in the first eight games of the season.
I don't want to alarm you or anybody else, but if you're doing your like phone setup thingy and just want to go to the simplest form of it, your connection now is just a smidge touchy. And I feel like that is perfect given the way that we introduced this. Oh man. I mean, just virtually nothing on that one. Do I have you here? Have we smoothed out maybe? Oh no. Oh no.
That works or anything.
None of it worked.
It's devastating, truthfully.
It really is. Do you have I don't know. I mean, I just sort of want to hang out and see if it solidifies, because I really like the idea of using this as a point of reflection for this Chiefs team. But I'm so afraid to be like, hey, Tucker, so how do you reflect on this season? Only for you to do a beautiful 3-minute soliloquy that nobody gets to hear.
Yeah, well, that wouldn't be very out of the norm, I think. I think I talked for 3 minutes to look at these all the time that nobody hears. So yeah, I actually like to think.
It's actually worse when it's like every third or fourth word that you lose, and it's like, oh man, well, I could tell that there was something beautiful happening in there, but we couldn't quite land that particular plane. I don't know if you've got like a little Wi-Fi calling thing you want to toggle on or off, and maybe this wasn't meant to be, and maybe the phone gods have just tried to stop us on a few different occasions. But I'll give you one lob at exactly that. When you do have kind of the 30,000 foot view, you have an undefeated team that has figured out some of their offensive issues by adding, you know, a likely future Hall of Famer, that you have a defense that's played great football and then had an imperfect game against Baker Mayfield's beat up Bucks. Where do you stand? Where do you think is a reasonable place to be right here as we begin week 10?
You know, I do think that it is probably good to recognize this team does have some flaws. Also recognize the fact that they have the greatest flaw eraser of all time in Patrick Mahomes, and the way that he is able to negate both offensive and defensive flaws as a position on the offense is actually quite incredible, of how he's able to do that and just ride the ship and win games and be able to win games even when he doesn't play great. That's the other thing too, is that he hasn't played entirely great. I do think this game best game of the season, and he was able to right some wrongs that the defense had, and very rarely had this season. He was able to go out there, perform well, and the offense was really able to show that they have that next game, show that they can pick it up when it mattered. We've seen the Chiefs defense pick that up, right? We've seen that thing on the Chiefs defensive side of things, that they've been able to answer the call, answer the bell of whatever happens, not being able to get things going, the defense will pick it up and they'll keep it going for the team. Now, because of the struggles on Monday, the offense had to pick it up. The offense had to pick up the bell, had to answer the call. They did. I mean, shouldn't be a huge shock, right, with Patrick Mahomes as your quarterback. But I do think it's one of those things, too, where the Chiefs can have these flaws. All these other teams can have these flaws. But because they have Patrick Mahomes, he negates so many different flaws that you can have on the offensive side of the ball and really on the defensive side of the ball, because no matter what position he gets put in, he seems to play better when his back is against the wall and when he's hurt, which is odd in its own right. But like, it's one of those things where he just kind of makes things better. It's weird to be in that spot, Josh, yeah, where you're just like, oh yeah, no, it's okay, because like Patrick Mahomes. And there's been times already this season where we have been in games and we've been watching these games and we're like, oh man, I just don't know how the Chiefs can pull this out, and then they make the crucial plays when they, and I think that's what really the big difference has been, is they just make plays when they matter. When they get opportunities, they take advantage of them. Not every team does that, and that's a big part because of Patrick Mahomes. Also goes back to the coaching staff, Andy Reid. I thought it was very interesting. DeAndre Hopkins was very, 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 very appreciative and praiseworthy of the coach staff, even and the position coaches, getting him to go, Matt Nagy as well. Like, I thought that was incredibly interesting of how complimentary he was to the coaching staff leading into this. And that just kind of shows you that, like, the situations that DeAndre Hopkins has been in are also just been terrible. And yeah, maybe not the Bears coaching staffs, but I think that that's really the big thing, is that when I step back and I look, like, Patrick Mahomes hasn't played great, but he still played great when it mattered.
The thing about that, with the great eraser that Patrick Mahomes can be of the flaws or the weaknesses or the missed marks throughout, on some level, I was thinking about that even in connection with DeAndre Hopkins, thinking about how easy that relationship has looked and how easily it seems like it came along. Or at this point now, after all of this conversation about, you know, onboarding processes and learning the offense and all of that, when you give Patrick Mahomes, a great wide receiver who has played 12 years in the league and has a feel for what defenses are doing, it makes a lot of sense that Mahomes can meet him there. Patrick Mahomes is just trying to meet Sky Moore at his level for the last couple of years. He was trying to meet Kadarius Toney at that level. The balls that ended up being intercepted off the hands of Kadarius Toney, sorry to dig this one up, everybody, but those were put in the right spot. The question is then, can the players make those plays? Maybe, I don't even know if you heard as we were kind of shuffling phone stuff last segment, but the third down stats from Shiel Kapadia and that entire idea of, okay, so Mahomes is clutch. What does that mean? The Chiefs are great when it matters most. How does that happen? And I think what it ends up being by and large, I mean, it's a part of it. I think it's multifaceted and one of the most fascinating mysteries we'll never fully solve around sports, which is why do some people get better under stress or worse under stress? Feels easier to wrap your head around. But when you have an elite, nearly perfect quarterback leading your offense and leading the charge and deciding where to go with the football and deciding who to look for and who to extend that trust to, when he goes to those guys in big moments, it makes sense that it works. I mean, we've seen Mahomes be let down in a air quotes clutch circumstance by a Marquez Valdez-Scantling drop. When Mahomes gets let down in a clutch moment because Kadarius Toney is lined up offsides, he almost kills a referee. Like, we were all nervous for that man's health in that moment. The idea of, like, I don't know, maybe shortening the rotation a little bit for a cross-sport term, maybe that's part of it as well. But the Chiefs still now, I want to ask you about Xavier Worthy, they're still now in this exploratory process where there is still room to grow. Xavier Worthy will not be the same player on November 5th that he is on January 5th, or at least we certainly hope so. I want to know where your level of optimism and where your level of concern is now, as clearly Hopkins is the number one receiver on this team. You expect Juju Smith-Schuster back within the next few weeks, hopefully. Where does Xavier Worthy fit in, and how do you feel about him as somebody who, you know, certainly talked about him and throughout the pre-draft process, and now eight games into his Chiefs career? Where are you at on the rookie?
Here so far this year has not gone as the Chiefs might have anticipated it to, right? So his plan going into this year has not unfolded like the Chiefs probably anticipated his development plan to. I think that is probably does play into a little bit. Look, I do think it was disappointing for him to see from Xavier Worthy how he just kind of forgot how to play football. Like, he forgot to stay in bounds and on a couple of catches. I think the one catch he had was logged as a run. He did
I apologize deeply, but much like Xavier Worthy's rookie season, we have hit some rocky territory at about the halfway point, and we may need to take this one back to the practice field. Your first answer came through pretty loud and clear. I like to think that people saw what you put on tape in that first answer. You say that Tucker D. Franklin, that's a guy that I'm willing to have move up my draft board, even if somewhere in the phone ghost in the machine process, if we have lost our way. That sometimes great segments get derailed by bad phone lines. That happens.
Look, that's what it is.
I will, let's do this. Next time we do 21 questions together, I'd really like to get your Taylor Swift power rankings of your top five moments going to see the Eras Tour in Indianapolis. I am heartbroken that we will not have time or the ability to get to that right now. I desperately need to know about those, and I don't know, maybe we tweet them out or any other better social media platform in the days or weeks to come.
Well, I appreciate your hospitality, Josh. I'm sorry I soiled myself in your hospitality.
The good news is the cleanest bit of audio was that one. So at least with any luck, we can have that turned into some sort of liner or something for next week. And ideally for next time, when we can test these waters and try to reconnect again. Thank you, Tucker, for at bare minimum giving us an activity to solve for these first 20 minutes of the 8 o'clock hour.
Thank you.
Have a good night. I don't feel so bad because the thanks, Josh, barely came through at all. But at least we got to hear Tucker admit to soiling himself in exchange for our hospitality. Look, man, sometimes that happens. I talk to Tucker almost every day. And frequently, it's a phone-to-phone conversation. That's fine. We figured out the phone thing back here on the radio side. I think that was fine. And somewhere in there, Tucker's in a new house. I don't know that he's done radio from inside this new house before. Maybe he did it from the wine cellar / bomb shelter that I explicitly asked him not to do the show from tonight. This show has really, this is the third edition of the humbly named the Josh Briscoe Show. And I feel like now we've arrived. I feel like now we have suffered through a phone problem and a phone connection. We've paid that price. We can take a break. And you know the good news? I'm going to have so much time to blab from here on out. There are going to be takes I didn't think I was going to even get to give today that I'll be able to provide to you throughout the remainder of the show. Just don't soil yourself in exchange for hospitality here on the Josh Briscoe Show. It's the Josh Briscoe Show here on 96.5 The Fan. Quentin Morris on the other side of the glass. I've already forgotten what I said I was going to open this segment with. I don't remember if it was... I've already forgotten. I'm going to get to Patrick Mahomes in a second. That was the thing from earlier that I went, oh yeah, what else did I not really... Oh, this was all my fault. That was it. This entire... What you've heard over the last 15 minutes or so, or closer to 30, I guess now. We're at 8:30. It was going to be fine. I told Quentin in the break, I said, you know, the first couple of shows... First couple of Josh Briscoe shows and first times, like, you know, really getting back on the horse and trying to make sure I got everything I want to get through 2 hours. I had so much stuff prepped, and I always take ridiculous notes during Chiefs games so I can go back and check anything. And I'm on social media all the time, and I'm writing about the Chiefs all the time on ChiefsOnSI.com, by the way, which I never mention here. And I probably should. ChiefsOnSI.com, me and Jordan Foote, who was our guest last week, we're the leads there on SI.com's Chiefs coverage, ChiefsOnSI.com. So I'm aware of everything that's going on, and by and large, also, I'm a born and raised yapper. I am the son of a couple of yappers who are the descendants of two more yappers, et cetera, et cetera. I have a long familial line of people who can talk to anybody for any length of time. That is my genetic gift. I can't dunk. I don't have abs. I have diabetes, and I can listen to myself talk for a long time.
Can I give a silver lining?
Yeah, please. Yes! Quentin!
We have that.
That makes it all worth it. And so what I confided during the break... was that I have plenty of things to talk about here today, but it's not as extensive and it's not as well organized as it was the first couple of shows. And that's when Quentin said, oh, this is your fault. You tempted the radio gods and they are punishing you. And damn it, he's right. Because of all of the things that I have in my notes and the things I wanted to start with and the AARP three-peat and the cornerback situation and the panic being kind of weird to me and Mahomes on third down and talking to Tucker about Taylor Swift. The thing I didn't have amongst my headlines is a true, honest statement of where I was at pretty close to 24 hours ago, 23 hours ago now maybe, I guess, depending on, yeah, 20, let's call it 23 hours ago. Roughly 23 hours ago, I thought Patrick Mahomes was done. Not playing football or for the season, but as Patrick Mahomes went down while throwing a touchdown pass, the Mahomesiest way to get injured. Mahomes jumps, shovels a touchdown to Samaje Perine, lands, crumples. I never thought knee for whatever reason. I don't know if he grabbed at his ankle when he was down, if I saw that on the broadcast, or if I just saw the way the ankle kind of buckled or whatever a little bit. But the reason I thought he was done, in that instant, if I had to bet, like, you know, what was my subconscious telling me? There was one thing that Patrick Mahomes did not do immediately after getting hurt that was an enormous red flag to me. He didn't really fight it. Now, after the game, he said that the coaching staff was telling him and the training staff was telling him, like, stay there, stay down. And then they got over and help him up and start to walk him off the field. And then he's able to start putting some weight back on that and then figuring out, just essentially just rolled his ankle. A freshly rolled ankle, re-rolled, but not the high ankle sprain that he suffered in Jacksonville in the 2022 season, January 2023, I believe. When Chad Henne threw one of those 14 completions to one of those touchdowns, in fact, of the 14 completions to Travis Kelce in that game, the playoff game against the Jags. But when he went down in that moment, and for whatever reason, like some of the tight close-up shots, Mahomes looked calm in a way that, for whatever reason for me, I'm just curious if anyone else experienced it this way, sort of triggered as like acceptance almost of like, oh no, this is bad. There's no, like there was no benefit to him in that moment trying to tough it out and get to the sideline. Now, again, if he hadn't just thrown a touchdown, if the Chiefs hadn't just scored there, maybe he would have tried to fight his way back to the huddle and done the whole Iron Man thing. But he does that every time, it feels like. When there is a Mahomes moment of injury concern, it feels like the first thing that he's going to do is try to walk it off, grit it out, et cetera. Now, again, he had just thrown the touchdown, so I think it gave him that freedom to perhaps not just have to hulk out through it. But in that moment, and for a mercifully relatively brief moment until we started seeing the tweets that he was jogging on the sideline after he got out of the tent, for that moment, I thought we were about to see Carson Wentz finish that game. And if that was all it was, I would have taken it, because it would have meant Mahomes is back again soon. It's kind of a funny thing about this season that has been so underscored by injuries. Here we go. Okay. Knocked on wood. That Patrick Mahomes hadn't had one of those lower leg injuries. He's had foot and ankle and toe and high ankle, just kind of tacking on those injuries from over the years. And then he finally, again, tweaks it once, tweaks it again, and it looks worse on the in the instance from last night. But for just a little bit, I really thought that was whatever it was that came over Mahomes in that moment to seem so calm and sort of accepting, or maybe it, to me, again, and obviously not the case, but it looked like he knew it was worse than usual, because it wasn't an immediate get up, hobble it off, grit your teeth, try to hobble to the huddle and all of that. So am I alone, Quentin? What was your level of panic? I mean, several people have said it's the quietest they've ever heard Arrowhead was in that moment last night.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know. I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, absolutely refreshing!
For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and, in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Did I get ahead of myself just immediately fearing for the worst? Does that say a lot about me as an anxious person? I don't know.
No, I think you're... As a Chiefs fan, you know, I think it is very real, because you saw him go down, and, you know, I'll say this. I think there was a little bit of hope even before we came back from, like, the commercial, the injury timeout, because he didn't seem angry.
Good point.
You know,
that's
like,
a good point.
When he was really angry about the rolled or the high ankle sprain.
Mm-hmm.
He was really angry about the knee when it was, you know,
I didn't even mention the knee locking out of place.
Yeah,
yes,
like,
correct.
He was really angry when those things happened. This time, it just seemed like he was more confused than anything.
Yeah.
Like what the hell just happened? So,
I threw a touchdown and hurt myself. What happened here?
And it was a dead leg type deal. It was a really weird situation. And I felt better, obviously, when he's running on the sideline. But what really made me feel good about this is what Andy Reid said during his press conference after the game was over. When you hear that, that made me, okay, like, you know, he'll get it worked on and then we'll see what it is moving forward. But hearing that, I took a big relief, because he was like, no, I want to go back in. We're good. Let's do this.
And then even Mahomes talking about it after in his presser. Good audio clip pull. I'll come prepared with audio next time if necessary. If you're going to bring this level of production to this show, making me look bad. But later, because I think it may have been, I don't remember who asked, but one of the reporters asked Andy, like, did it seem like a similar deal to that Jags injury? And he's like, I don't really know. I'll let you know on Monday or Tuesday, I guess. And he didn't talk today, so it'll be Wednesday anyway. When Mahomes was asked about it after, he's like, hey, does this feel familiar to that high ankle sprain you suffered in Jacksonville? He said, no, not really, because that was a high ankle thing. It was more about how he was brought down. This was just a weird plant and a weird landing and a little buckle and a roll. And that, to me, also kind of going back to the theme of recurring injuries that Mahomes, not even really recurring injuries, just the lower leg, knees on down sort of injuries that he perpetually has played through. You had the belief at that point. I had the belief at that point, hearing Mahomes talk about it, that this isn't going to be something that necessarily hampers his play for weeks to come. Quentin, a well-prepared man, has the audio. Here's what Patrick Mahomes said when he was asked if it felt similar to that Jacksonville injury. Maybe the weird thing that I saw from Mahomes in that second, maybe it was fear. You say it was kind of scary, kind of afraid in that moment. It's a scary feeling. Maybe he was afraid for a second, and that is what registered with me as something horrifying beyond words.
Well, and I think, you know, just because what we've seen from quarterbacks, especially last year, right? We had two, I don't want to call them stars, but we had two higher end quarterbacks go down with Achilles injuries.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what it looks like when you tear your Achilles. Or I guess even this year, right, with Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
It was a very similar non-contact. And you notice that, what did the camera do when they showed the replay of it? They focused on the ankle, the back part of the ankle. And I think that was my biggest fear, is like, oh, did we just see him rupture his Achilles? Because that seems to be that non-contact injuries for quarterbacks, you know, especially guys that are standing in the pocket. Whereas, you know, when we see non-contact for other players like running backs, wide receivers, we're worried about the knee. And it just seems like quarterbacks, we aren't necessarily worried about the knee, it's that Achilles, because we've seen three quarterbacks do it over the last calendar year.
And it really does feel like a horror movie monster in some way. Like one of the more recent ones where the monster is like, you know, sin or whatever, sort of an ethereal threat. The Achilles, like you mentioned, it's Cousins and Rodgers this year. It's Watson. And of course, we've seen it plenty in Kansas City for non-quarterbacks as well. Derek Johnson and Eric Berry and many others. But that, it feels like such a random thing that it becomes terrifying. And honestly, you can go back to what Andy said in that first clip you played about the loosest ankles in America. There seems to be something there with Mahomes, and we've seen it with his ankle and his foot bending both directions in and out, and going back to that high ankle. I'm trying to remember the things we learned about the exterior rotation of an ankle versus an interior rotation of an ankle, and a basketball sprain versus a high ankle sprain, and all of that. It's stuff Mahomes trains on, that he and his personal trainer spend time making him the most flexible, giving him the most flexible ankles in America. And if that's something that becomes a legitimate advantage of his, it probably won't be something that's in his eventual football life documentary, right? I don't think he's going to get 10 minutes on, why did you never lose significant time to these ankle sprains, right? Because it's something you don't really think about until you're missing the time. I also just sort of always live, knock on wood again, and a little bit of a sense of fear that maybe one of the only thing that would stop Mahomes at this point is a freak serious injury. The freak unserious injuries he overcomes with remarkable frequency, in the fact that his kneecap had to be on the side of his leg to actually sideline him for a significant period of time, and they won the Super Bowl that year.
Yeah, I think it was Dick Vermeil that said you can't make the club from the tub. You know, it's just one of those things. It doesn't matter how good you are. If you can't make it on the field, then it doesn't matter. And I think Patrick Mahomes has sort of taken that sort of ideology to heart, where it's like, I need to make sure that I'm ready to go every single week. And it's why, you know, even though he's kind of a he's not afraid to run with the ball. Mm-hmm. He's always smart about how he does it, right? He's always sliding, stepping out of bounds. And I think because he knows that he isn't worth anything to the team if he can't be on the field.
This is a little bit sarcastic and a little bit serious. But it's good to take a minute to remember how bleeping good Patrick Mahomes is, both in explainable and inexplicable ways. Because he's one of one. He is an alien quarterbacking a football team. And the number of unique ways that he stands out is just mind-boggling. It really is. And that's what we here on the Josh Briscoe Show can provide for you. Patrick Mahomes, really, really good. One segment left in tonight's edition of the Josh Briscoe Show here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. I'm Josh Briscoe. We've talked about the defensive ups and downs a little bit here, and we've talked about the cornerback conversation a lot, which I feel like has gotten a little bit strange recently. Just one quick little kind of button to put on the defensive discourse here. The Chiefs gave up 24 points to the Buccaneers, and there's like a weird energy that they just have absolutely been found out as a fraud defensively, and I don't think we need to be in that space just yet. We mentioned Joshua Uche a little bit earlier. He barely got involved, and you'll see him continue to get into the rhythm and try to improve this pass rush a little bit. The Chiefs have had their issues getting pressure with four this year. I think that's part of the reason they acquired Uche. Obviously, Chris Jones is an animal, but when you have him demanding so much attention, who else is going to take advantage of those matchups? That's great. The weird thing for me from this game mostly came early on when the defense did, you know, allow some points. First drive, the Chiefs, it's five plays and the Bucs punt, and that's when Hardman has the nice return and then gets injured on the tackle. The drive after that ended up being a long Buccaneers touchdown drive that was it ended on third and six. It was a coverage sack, I think, by and large, but George Karloftis gets to Baker Mayfield, brings him down, and they called defensive holding on Shamari Connor. It wasn't actually on him. It was on Trent McDuffie. It was not a hold for Trent McDuffie. Probably could have been a hold on Shepard. Worst case scenario, there's a no call there, and the Chiefs get the ball back. Instead, the Bucs move the football down the field, end up scoring. They take that early lead. The next drive, three and out to get the ball back after the Chiefs have the lead again. And then Travis Kelce gives the football back on the Chiefs' next offensive drive. The Chiefs' defense gets the ball back again. You get to the half after the Chiefs have the ball right at the end there. Until the first drive out of the half, which starts at the 49 because of the opening kick return. At the 49, they convert a third and short. Josh Williams' horse collar gives him an extra 15. All of a sudden, they're at the 22-yard line. Eventually, they score. Otten gets a touchdown versus Justin Reed. It was a schemed-up play where the motion really seemed to get the matchup there. Reed kind of closes on Otten. Otten keeps trucking downfield. Touchdown appears down there. The point at that moment for me, the Chiefs go three and out, give the ball back. The Bucs end up going down and ending with the field goal there. The confusing thing about that turn of events is that it wasn't some disastrous meltdown from the Chiefs' defense. It was, by and large, a great effort, one that was extended by a bad penalty. I'm not here whining about the refs or the record. This isn't like, well, the ref scored seven of the points. I'm just saying that was a drive that, if refereed correctly, would have ended there. It didn't. And then so they continued driving down the field and they gave it up. The Chiefs defense had plenty of chances to stop it from there. But they did get one stop with a sack on third and six and a phantom call. And then the Bucs didn't do anything else in the first half. First drive out of the half, short field. They are able to, not a super short field, again, halfway down before the defense even takes the field. That's not an unwinnable circumstance for the Chiefs, but it's not an ideal one for an opposing for your defense. Obviously, the touchdown drive at the end of the game when the Bucs should have gone for two and tried to win it there, that is not ideal. That is not what you want. That's off to the side for me. the 17 points that came before that were not indicative of some like defensive meltdown. And I think it'll be interesting to go back through the last drive there and to kind of nitpick and see exactly what's going on. But maybe it's picking on Chris Roland Wallace in his, you know, very, very, very beginning of his NFL career. Baker was able to scramble a little bit and keep it moving. Not ideal. I'm with you. There was just, and again, maybe I'm in the wrong sections of Chiefs Twitter at this point. There was a lot of weeping and gnashing of teeth regarding a touchdown drive that was aided by a bad penalty and then a shutout the rest of the half. And then a touchdown to open on the short drive in the second half and then nothing else until later on. They end up, of course, they get the field goal a few drives later, or the next drive, and then several drives later, touchdown to tie it at the end. Maybe it would have felt different if they would have gone for two, and then you either get to say, oh, the Chiefs have a goal line stop on the two-point conversion, or they fold at the end, then you can put this back on the defense. Even then, I think the offense had more miscues in that game that ended up costing the team points than the defense did. This does not shake my confidence in the unit as a whole. If you missed the cornerback conversation, you can check that out on the podcast page. And I'm sure we'll continue to discuss the cornerback group as we go on. But it was all much, much closer to weird, fluky moments and bad positions for the defense than it was to anything that truly shakes my confidence in what the Chiefs defense can do. It's a great game from Liam Cohen, the offensive coordinator. It was a really nice game, by and large, for Baker, even though the stat line was not terribly impressive. It was a great game for Kate Otten. Maybe there's some schematic stuff there for those sort of McVay spinoff offenses that Spags can revisit a little bit. I'm just not looking at that as anything resembling the end of the facade for this fake elite Chiefs defense. I'm totally comfortable with the effort they put out there, considering that they are shorthanded at corner, even though I think they're going to be okay at that position. The big thing, Patrick Mahomes is healthy and still Patrick Mahomes. DeAndre Hopkins appears to still be, from early reports, still DeAndre Hopkins. And the reports of Travis Kelce's demise may have been greatly exaggerated. The rumors of this show's demise earlier this hour, greatly exaggerated, because we made it all the way to 9 o'clock. Hope you've had a good evening so far tonight, Kansas City. Hope you've enjoyed looking back at the positives from what this team produced last night and the fact that they do still have room to grow. That's actually kind of encouraging. I'm Joshua Briscoe. For Quentin Moore's on the other side of the glass, this has been the Josh Briscoe Show on 96.5 The Fan.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer,
SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, absolutely refreshing!
Hey guys, it's Daxton.
And Hayden from Blondies Out Loud.
And if you've ever thought about starting a podcast or making money from one,
we use Creator Lab from Odyssey for our show, and it's honestly been so easy.
It's free hosting, and it gives you a really simple way to earn on top of whatever you're already doing.
Which, of course, we love because it just adds another stream without the extra work.
So, if you're a creator or podcast curious,
check it out at creators.odyssey.com.